on a not going on.
You're listening to the Bloomberg Advantage with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, the Bloomberg Advantage brought to you by National Realty, providers of 100% satisfaction guaranteed New York City Realty Investment. See them at NRIA.net.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about virtual reality, augmented reality, all that good stuff. Augmetics is a startup out of San Francisco, developed a platform for doctors to collect, update, and recall patient and other medical data in real time. Let's get more on how it all works, who is using it. Ian Shaquille is the co-founder and chief executive officer at Augmetics, joining us from our Bloomberg 960 studio out in San Francisco. Woody Benson, venture capitalist and Bloomberg contributor with us, as he always is, every week. Hi, guys.
Good morning, Carol, and welcome to Bloomberg Ian. Tell us a little bit about Augmetics and what problem you're trying to solve.
Sure. Well, if you've seen a doctor recently, it's a pretty tragic experience. Most of the time, you're just looking at the doctor's back as he stares away into his computer and types and clicks and every now and then maybe looks at you. He doesn't like it much either. It's really one of the biggest problems in healthcare. It takes up so much of a doctor's time. And that's what we're all about. We solve that problem. We say, hey, doctor, stop doing it that way. Put on Google Glass. Go have normal, engaging conversations with your patient. And in the background, we will fill in all of those annoying, time-consuming forms and fields and dropdowns in the computer better and faster than you could.
How do you do that?
Right. So as the doctor is wearing glass and, you know, having a human conversation with the patient, the audio-visual from the mics and cameras on glass are streaming to a human being expert, a remote scribe located elsewhere in the world. This person knows the doctor really well. So as the conversation's unfolding, this scribe is literally swimming through the EHR, the Epic, the Cerner, whatever system the doctor uses, and filling in all of those forms and fields, also serving information back to the doctor if he makes any, you know, queries. Please show me the labs, what's the next patient, what's the cholesterol, etc. All this saves the doctor about a third of the day.
Is this like I've been using Amy, the XIA digital assistant, and we're just getting to know each other as she tries to schedule my meetings. Is this like this person, probably soon to be a robot, you know, needs to understand, you know, the particulars about a doctor and the practice and the patients? Or, you know, how do you get up to speed in the system?
It's very much like that. Before going live with our service, we really get to know the doctor. We shadow the doctor. We shadow them through glass. We examine weeks and months of their past notes. We know them very well. That way, when they're discussing with the patient, we know their preferences, the way they like it. We know sort of the way they abbreviate things and on and on. So as they're having their conversations, we're able to sort of convert that into medical speak and fill out the note.
Wait, I have to tell you, I'm listening to you. First of all, that seems very costly to get somebody to really kind of understand, you know, they're going to have to know a bunch of different doctors. Mm-hmm. So I kind of don't understand that part of the equation. And I mean, what's the medical training of these individuals so they really do understand the nuances of whatever field a particular doctor, you know, is in?
Let me see if I can tackle those questions. First of all, doctors are super expensive. You know, their salary might be $200,000-$400,000. Their overhead is even in excess of that. So we're talking $1 million person, a doctor, a year, spending a third of their day on the computer. And we're eliminating that. So that's of great value to that $1 million person. And that's, it may sound costly, but it's worth it. And there's a shortage of doctors. Second of all, you don't get a different person every time. Pretty much every day, you'll get one of maybe four people that know you really well. We call that a squad. These four scribes, you know, that's who you get every day. So it's not like that scribe has to know so many doctors all at once.
Who pays for this?
Ultimately, health systems, which are large enterprises, folks like the Kaisers and Sutters and Dignities of the world, which employ thousands of doctors, have a horrible doctor shortage problem and are doing everything they can to improve their interaction, delight doctors, keep doctors, and get more out of their doctors.
Well, the big trend really has been for insurance companies to buy doctor practices, right? And this enables doctors to kind of do what they want to do, you know, versus having to work, you know, 25 hours a day filling up the appointments. And these are your investors, right? You know, give us the virtuous circle, you know, view, Ian, if you would.
Yeah, that's really interesting and special. We've been around for nearly 4 years, and over the past few months, what's been interesting is our customers, our large enterprise customers like Dignity and Sutter and CHI, DryHealth, these are mega health system players, have decided to, in essence, form a coalition and all venture invest in us all at once. So they're not just customers, that they're in essence sort of our VCs. As far as I know, this doesn't happen every day, and it signals a lot of things. First of all, that they very much believe in what we're doing and they want us to scale. They also kind of want to change the relationship with us such that we're not just a vendor, but a real partner, so they can influence our roadmap.
And this is an eye-popping number, right?
Absolutely. Every now and then I'll hear about one health system maybe making a strategic investment in one of its vendors, but to have, five of our five, all of them, and to really just inject millions of dollars in venture, it's very eye-popping. To date, we've raised $40 million.
It's really interesting. And it's fundamentally built on Google Glass. Are you a hardware agnostic here, or are you really betting on Glass?
And more than 90% of our doctor users wear Google Glass every day, all day, and we love it, and we have a strong relationship with Google. But technically speaking, we are a hardware agnostic company, and there are a lot of different smart glass platforms out there, from folks like Vuzix and Sony and even other Asia-based manufacturers that you've never heard of. And from my perspective, the more the merrier. The space is heating up, and it's good for us.
How's it working? Talk to me a little bit about kind of the financials of it and the productivity aspects of it. How is it working so far?
Yeah, so we're basically in the business of turning three doctors into four doctors, of saving a doctor about a third of their day. And so if you're a million-dollar person, we're saving you a third of the day. That's worth, heck, hundreds of thousands of dollars to you, to the doctor, and to the health system. But we don't charge hundreds of thousands of dollars. We charge a lot less, and basically single-digit thousands of dollars per month per user, which is certainly a lot, but pales in comparison to the time savings. And in exchange for that time savings, doctors are able to do things more productive than just typing away on the computer. For example, seeing more patients per day, or increasing their panel size, or doing population management, or, you know, a little bit going home on time and taking some of that for doctor satisfaction and lifestyle. So that's how health systems and doctors generally take the savings.
Ian, hang on. We're going to continue our conversation. Ian Shaquille, he's co-founder, chief executive officer at Augmetics in our Bloomberg 960 studio in San Francisco, along with Woody Benson, Bloomberg contributor. We'll continue in just a moment. You are listening to the Bloomberg Advantage. This is Bloomberg.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Greg Jarrett. We're sponsored by New York Community Bank and New York Commercial Bank, the NYCB family of banks. Bank with confidence anywhere you see the NYCB logo. Visit NYCBfamily.com. Stocks fluctuate ahead of the Fed's latest policy decision. There's a rally in Apple, but it was offset by earnings-sparked declines in companies from Coke to Twitter. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P 500 is down 0.2%, now down 5. The Dow is little change, down 3. And the NASDAQ is up 0.4%, up 20. The 10-year is up 8/32, the yield 1.53%. West Texas Intermediate is down just about 2%, $42.09 a barrel. The COMEX gold is up 0.5%, at $13.35.30 an ounce. The yen 105.65, the euro 109.93, and the pound at 131.14. Altria Group saw shipment volume of its Marlboro cigarettes tumble 5.5% last quarter, putting pressure on the largest U.S. tobacco company to generate more revenue from emerging smokeless products. Volume for its cigarettes brands overall dropped 5% in the second quarter. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. I'm Greg Jarrett, Carol and Corey.
All right. Greg Jarrett, thank you so much. The Bloomberg Advantage, it is brought to you by T2 Computing, a new kind of IT solutions company for workflow, mobility, and infrastructure. Let them explain how their expertise can help you gain greater business value. Visit T2Computing.com for more information.
Still with us, Bloomberg contributor Woody Benson and the CEO of Augmetics, Ian Shaquille, joins us. Ian, let me ask you, as it relates to the other platforms out there, you mentioned Google Glass and a few others, and I wonder, when you look across the AI spectrum, What do you, so, which you've got companies like Oculus out there getting a lot of publicity. Google Glass the same. I would argue Sony not getting a lot of publicity for their device yet. But I wonder, which do you think will have the greatest early success and why?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I think
Thank
all
you.
Of these different
that's my job.
head-mounted displays, either in the VR space, like Oculus, or the strong AR space, kind of like Meta and Magic Leap, as well as a light AR space like Google Glass and the Vuzix devices and others, they're all going to have some early successes in different industry verticals. I'm actually a big fan of the enterprise applications yielding success ahead of the consumer applications. I mean, of those three categories, I think you're going to see more volume, you know, more units sold in the Oculus VR space. I just think that they're ahead. They have a little bit of consumer gaming traction there, and that's what's going to yield volume and sort of revenue and value first. But I think the smart glass space and the sort of Google Glass family of devices, in the next few years, it's going to be a very, very big category. Lots of units sold, a lot of different verticals, a lot of good startups like Augmetics and others making big, solutions there that are adopted by thousands of workers all over the world.
What inning are we in relative to the technology innovation?
Oh my gosh, inning number one. You know, we're just sitting down in the seats here, and the popcorn's still coming.
Do you get the feeling that Google is happy about where they're at in Google Glass?
My sense is that, you know, they paused the consumer-facing Explore program, and they learned a lot from that, and they gained a lot from that. They probably, would have done things differently, and I think they've said as much publicly. I think they're overall happy with their space and the smart glass, their positioning within the smart glass space, and I think they feel, well positioned to dominate it going forward. They continue to be excited and nurturing of the enterprise applications, the glass at work applications, Augmetics being one of them in healthcare, and there are various others in other industry verticals.
Paint us a picture of what inning five looks like, the user experience.
Definitely. So, I mean, inning five, in my mind, is a situation where, we have this sort of deskless workforce. We have folks like doctors, folks like frontline manufacturing workers and field-based workers, very frequently wearing glass, having all of their documentation services sort of done seamlessly in the background, information literally at their fingertips or at their eyeballs. Their team communications are made streamlined, and basically they're able to focus on what they do best and also sort of what humans do best. And we get a lot more productivity and delight out of, large percentages of our workforce throughout the world.
What about all the security issues? I have a listener sending me a question. What about the privacy issues under HIPAA?
Yeah, I mean, we continue to spend millions of dollars making sure we are, Fort Knox in every respect. We're audited. You wouldn't believe the amount of security our scribes have in their facilities and sort of the end-to-end encryption we've put together. And then furthermore, every time a patient goes and sees their doctor, we engage them and we educate them. We tell them about, hey, your doctor uses a glass, here's why. Here's a laminated FAQ, any questions or concerns, glass comes off. And interestingly, 98% of the time plus, patients are A-okay with their doctors using glass, which is a great number for us.
But the first time a scribe gets a note wrong and something goes astray medically, like who's legally responsible?
It's a really good point as well. Just
got about 20 seconds.
Basically the scribe puts everything in pending or draft. The doctor ultimately has to click confirm on the computer, glance at the computer, make it legally his note.
So the doctor ultimately then has to review all that stuff, bottom line. Ian Shaquille, interesting. Co-founder, chief executive officer at Augmetics from our Bloomberg 960 studio in San Francisco, along with Woody Benson, venture capitalist, Bloomberg contributor, joining us from our Bloomberg 1200 studio in Boston. Coming up, a check on the markets. This is Bloomberg.